Okay, sorry about that. We'll go ahead and get started. I was hoping to do a live demo of a Raspberry Pi, so if maybe while we go through the talk, maybe they'll give me the connectivity I need to do that. But I've got several slides here I plan to go through first anyways, so we'll go ahead and do this. Somebody did get me, thank you for the connector. I'll make sure I get that back to you. So the one connector I didn't bring, I didn't have actually. Okay, so first off, I figured I'd talk a bit about who I am. I have no affiliation with the Raspberry Pi Foundation. I'm a Linux enthusiast. My name is Joshua Dennis. I'm the information services manager for a heating and plumbing supply distributor. We do a lot of stuff with Linux. Debian is the distribution that we use the most. That's kind of what we got going on there. I've personally been using Linux since 1996. I cut my teeth on Slackware, which is not something I use anymore, but it's a good distribution all the same. So, okay, so what is the Raspberry Pi? Okay, it is a credit card size single board computer created by the Raspberry Pi Foundation. It uses a Broadcom system on a chip, 700 megahertz ARM CPU, a video core 4 GPU, has 512 megabytes of RAM. Used to be 256 megabytes of RAM, but at a certain point they made an announcement that they were going to start coming with 512 megs of RAM standard. I unfortunately was an early adopter, so the one I have here with me today is the 256 model. It does work basically the same, just certain things run better on the 512 meg versus the 256. Regarding the ARM CPUs themselves, many cell phones these days use ARM processors, so there's some similarities there. And the CPU can be overclocked. That's a feature that they had added after it had been out for a little while. As far as the connectivity that it's got on it, it's got two full USB ports. It's got composite video. It has an HDMI port, SD card slot, and then 10/100 Ethernet. And then a micro USB port for power. There is also a special GPIO connector for some special use purposes, things like that. And then this is a picture of the Model B. There's a few different models. This is by far the most popular one. So this is the one that I hope to demo here today and that the talk is mainly focused on. And you can see the different ports on there. Kind of some of them with this angle, it's kind of hard to see what they are, but they're all the ones that I just had listed on the previous slide. Okay, so, sorry, I'm having some mic issues here. So you may be wondering, same as Mark Spencer, I guess we both have the same flaw of wearing a t-shirt today, right? Okay, so you may be wondering what's special about this? Why is it on the cover of magazines? Why is this so popular? Why is this a talk here at this conference? Okay, it's $35 for a Raspberry Pi, which is very inexpensive for what you get. Okay, and I'll talk more about what that actually buys you. It's very low power usage. It's estimated to use about 3.5 watts, which compared to a regular computer is very low. It can play 1080p video, which is, I'm not going to say it's the highest HD quality, but you know, because there's 4K, some other newer things, but it's the highest of common, readily available HD video would be 1080p. It can play that, which I will demo hopefully here in a little bit. And of course, it runs Linux. So that's obviously a big check mark in the pro column. And it's got a very small footprint, you know, coined as a credit card size computer. And it also encourages tinkering, experimenting, and learning. And there's also a huge, huge, very active community surrounded around the Raspberry Pi itself. Okay, so you need a lot of what I'm going to call accessories, kind of like how when you buy a printer and it doesn't come with a printer cable and that's an accessory. Well, you're not going to actually print without the printer cable. With the Raspberry Pi, for $35 you get the board, but you're going to need all these different pieces of connectivity to be able to actually use it. Okay, so, and you know, when I say the board, so literally on this slide, $35 is going to get you this in a box. That's what you'll actually receive, is this board only. Okay, unless you buy, there's some bundle package deals. So those would be the exception, but generally speaking, you would just get the board, okay? The first thing you absolutely undoubtedly need is a power supply. It needs to be at least 700 mA at 5 volts. This is critical. I had this bad experience myself. You look on the forums, any of the different forums for Raspberry Pi, it's very common to just say, oh, I've got a micro SD cell phone charger, let's just use that. And it might work, maybe, most of the time, and then you might have some crashing issues, some different things. So it's very important that you get the proper powered supply to be able to run your Raspberry Pi. You can also use a micro SD cable micro USB to USB to plug it into a computer, and it will kind of work, but it's not going to run well if you start doing anything CPU intensive, etc. You need an SD card. You know, I mentioned there's an SD card slot. Pretty much the recommended is 4 GB or larger, and that's basically the Pi's hard drive. Okay. As far as cases, if you've looked online or if you do later, there's all kinds of different cases you can buy, you can make. There's Lego cases are very popular. I bought one. This isn't a case itself. It's kind of hard to see probably for some of you, but Adafruit is a company that makes certain things. They have basically like a blueprint that they put out, and I actually bought this from, because here again, I was an early adopter. I ordered this off eBay from somebody in UK, and it comes in different pieces you assemble, and it has all the ports available, etc. And then, of course, beyond that, there's a lot of different things you can use. Depending what your application is, you may or may not need or want that. You can get a USB Wi-Fi adapter, keyboard, mouse, monitor, Ethernet cable, on and on and on.
And camera.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Camera is a popular one, too. Okay, so something that they've been doing that's kind of new with Raspberry Pi is called NOOBS, N-O-O-B-S, which stands for New Out-of-Box Software. So what this is you can actually buy SD cards that have this preloaded on it. And then with that, it makes it really easy for somebody who might not be extremely experienced with Linux to be able to try out some of these different operating systems. Okay, you can also download this NOOBS and then format the SD card, unpack the zip on there, and then you're pretty much ready to go. Okay, so then what happens is you boot up the Raspberry Pi, and then it'll give you a list, you know, of this Raspbian, Fedora, Arch Linux, OpenLEC, RaspBMC, RISC OS. Then you can choose which one you want to run. It'll then proceed to do the rest of the work for you to set up that SD card to run that operating system. Okay? Raspbian is a Debian Wheezy derivative optimized for the Pi. That's one of the ones that I have on an SD card here with me today. I feel like that's kind of, like if you go to raspberrypi.org, that's definitely, I feel like, the main distribution that they push. But there's a lot of options, so depending what you're trying to do, that may or may not be one you'd want to go with. And there's Fedora, which is basically Fedora Remix optimized for a Raspberry Pi. OpenELEC, which is an XBMC distribution. Arch, which is Arch Linux port for ARM devices. RISC OS, I think I got an extra O in there. But it's a fast, compact operating system. RaspBMC is an XBMC distribution for Raspberry Pi, which I'll talk more about that here shortly. And then basically, if you're not using NOOBS, you'll need a disk imager to set up the SD card. You know, you basically download the image, use that imager to get it properly on there. If you've got a Linux box or a Mac, you can do a DD to load it. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to get the card set up. Some different uses, which there could be a whole talk in itself showing the different uses. It's amazing what a lot of people have been doing with these devices. But just some examples would be cheap, low-end desktop computer, low-power, lightweight web server, or any other server, be it for home or what have you. An arcade emulator, there's some scripts and some distributions, like one's RetroPie, some other things that people are using them, and they may even build like the cabinet to put this in. People get pretty deep into that. There's a media server. XBMC is the best example of that. There's several distributions based on that, which pretty much would turn your TV into a smart TV is the best way to explain that. And something that's kind of interesting related to that is there's a feature of HDMI You know, which I'd say is pretty much, you know, for most TVs these days is basically the standard in connectivity for HD. Well, the CEC is a feature of HDMI, which allows you to control other devices using your regular TV remote over HDMI. Okay, so what would happen would be, so let's say you're running RaspBMC on a Raspberry Pi, it's hooked up to the TV through HDMI, you're gonna get on the TV sound and video through HDMI, okay? Then additionally, as long as your TV supports it, which the different manufacturers, they call it different things, so depending which manufacturer you're talking about, they may call it Smart Connect or different things like that, but it's the CEC, which is, you know, Consumer Electronics Connectivity, where you basically can use the up and down arrows to control the menu, and you can hit stop and play. It's a very nice way to be able to control your Raspberry Pi if you're doing this without having to have yet another device plugged into it, you know, to give you the control capabilities. There also has been some examples where people have set up basically a supercomputer cluster using many Raspberry Pis. So due to how inexpensive they are, you know, they're able to do that. And, you know, you might say, okay, well, you know, what's better, an ox or 1,024 chickens? Well, you know, I think that's the Cray computer guy, I think that's a quote from him, something to that effect. So I think the biggest thing there is to learn what it's like to set up a cluster and to have that experience more so versus that you're going to be doing weather forecasting and those sort of things with a Raspberry Pi cluster, okay? Okay, so Raspbian, you know, that is one of the flagship distributions, as I've mentioned. It does run the LXDE desktop. It's got IDLE and IDLE3, which is a Python integrated development environment. There's also Scratch, which just seems like a very interesting and active project as well, which is basically an educational programming language. You can use it to make games, animations. It's GUI driven. I haven't played with it much myself, but it definitely seems like it's a pretty big project. Then Midori is the web browser that comes on it by default, which is pretty much a lightweight, fast web browser. And since it is based off Debian, there are 35,000 plus, that's what it says on Raspbian's website at least, is there's over 35,000 packages available. So soup to nuts, all kinds of stuff you could install on there to do whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. So I'm hoping if we're able to get things hooked up here, I'll do this live demo I keep talking about. I did want to give some resources, raspberrypi.org, lots of great stuff on there, everything from downloading the images, forums to ask questions or see what other people are talking about, guides, etc. Then there's this elinux.org that's got a list of the verified peripherals, which here again, I mentioned the power supply. It's critical that you get a good one. There's lists of good ones on there. Same with SD cards, Wi-Fi adapters, which we all know, those don't always just magically work in Linux. We all wish that they would, but that's not the case. So if you want to make sure what you're buying or what you have laying around will work, that's a good resource to check that. There is the MagPi, which is a free digital magazine all about Raspberry Pi. So there's lots of good articles in there about different projects people are doing. There's even some columns about learning how to program. Lots of good resources there. Element 14 is one of the main resources. That's where I bought my Raspberry Pi. That was before Amazon started carrying them, but actually Amazon sells them now. It's a little bit more, but there's free shipping, so it kind of offsets. I'm sure you can find many other places to buy it, but those are probably two of the more common places. And then, of course, many distributions have their own website, which will have different resources, et cetera. RaspBMC.com is an example of that. And I will have these slides on speaker bar. I believe that's what a lot of the presenters will be using. I guess we'll find out as the different talks happen today, but they're not up there yet, but they will be. Do you have the goods?
Well, I have pretty much every adapter I can find.
Let's see what we get. Let me do these last few slides real quick and we'll take a shot at that. So I don't know if any of you have ever seen a live demo at a tech conference, but so far this one's going about as good as they usually go. Thank you. It's very risky. Yeah.
I've got to run out, so when you're done, give me that way if the devil forms are there.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I think we can make this work. I'll see what I can do here. But yeah, so we got a picture of Evel Knievel here. So we'll see what happens. And this is probably going to go one of two ways. And you guys can probably guess what's going to happen here. So, you know, it could go this way where, you know, I don't always give a live demo, but it could be certain to crash and burn. Or if I'm lucky, it could maybe still go this way. But I guess we shall see. So if you give me a minute or two here, I'll try to see if I can get these going here. Does anybody happen to have one that goes mini HDMI to HDMI? Anybody happen to have that kind of connector? No?
There is an HDMI on this projector.
There is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have full HDMI. Is there an extra power plug down there?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I just talked about that. I don't want to crash and burn, so. Okay, all right. I'm going to come down there. Did you want your connector back? Thanks again for letting me use that. I'll sit right here. I think I'm good. I think I just gotta hook it up over there. Thank you for spotting that. That's. Yeah. Yep. It's not plugged in yet. Yes. It can still crash and burn. We'll see. That's just the first truck in that picture or whatever.
Takeoff is the most dangerous part of the flight.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Raspbian MC that we're booting right here, right now. I'm just going to grab the other SD card while that starts up. Okay, so XBMC, you know, as I mentioned, it's basically something that can turn your TV into a smart TV. And its project has been around for a long time. And basically, it started with Xbox One, and then they've continued to develop it. It's available on a lot of platforms, and there's definitely a lot of activity behind this.
There may be a...
There you go. Awesome, thank you. Okay, so, you know, as I mentioned, if you had this hooked up to a TV, which typically I have this hooked up in my bedroom to a 32-inch LCD TV, and then hook it up via HDMI. So I typically could use the TV remote to control it, you know, utilizing CEC. Okay, but in this case, I just have a USB keyboard plugged in. So I'm just going to use the arrows on here to navigate it. And of course, you know, it's already enough of a task to get this up and running at a conference. So I have no internet connectivity. I wasn't even going to try to hook to Wi-Fi or what have you. So there's not a whole lot to show, but you know, you can definitely go into the system settings. There's lots of different settings you can configure as far as everything from the appearance. There's different themes, all sorts of things like that. You can have it, you know, show you the weather. There's a ton of add-ons for streaming different things or doing all sort of different options with it. Everything from wake on LAN, if you have a server that's not on all the time and then you want to be able to send it a magic packet to wake it up. There's a lot of different things that you can set up with this. The one thing I did want to show you though is, so basically you would set up either on the local either on the local SD drive, which is what I've got to show you here today, or you would have something on the network, or if you're streaming something otherwise, that's how you would get to it. So videos, I'm going to go in here. I do have a 1080p trailer for White House Down that I loaded on here. So I'll just show you real quick how it is capable. I don't know if it's going to have audio, but... Yeah, so you guys probably can't hear that unless I put my mic up to it. But basically, you can see. I mean, it doesn't even sweat playing 1080p video, which definitely for a device this inexpensive for what it's got, it has a very capable graphics card in it. So I'm not going to let the whole trailer play, but just figured that was a good example. All right, any questions about RaspBMC before I switch to Raspbian? I personally haven't used the live TV portion. I know that XBMC has, they've been adding that recently, but I have no idea how good or bad that is. So I think there might be a way to integrate that, but I personally have not done that. I have not. Sorry. Is there another question over here?
I think the live TV ones that rely on having a backend somewhere with tuner cards.
Absolutely. Yeah, you would, I don't think there's any support that I'm aware of for tuner cards on the Raspberry Pi itself. Right. Yep. Any other questions on this before I switch? Yeah.
I've been running for probably about a year online, and you may have solved my crashing problem with the power supply. But IceFilm seems to be the best add-on that we use for finding the film. Sometimes they'll run, sometimes they won't, and had no luck doing live TV on it. But I'm beating it up to, what, about a 42-inch TV through my surround sound, and sounds awesome.
Good.
I'm running the XBMC distribution, not the RaspBMC.
Gotcha.
Just to comment on the power supply, just telling this fella, the problem isn't that necessarily that you don't have a big enough power supply. The problem is the throughput that the board's able to handle. So if you're running any sort of external hard drive or any accessory at all, you have to use a powered USB hub because there's just not enough throughput in the board to be able to handle your accessory.
Now, there is a Hackaday out there on how to jump that. I have not done that. And I was running a powered USB until one kid stepped on it.
I personally have not hooked up a regular USB hard drive to mine yet, but from what I've read, you have to use USB power. I don't think it'd even work at all, period. I think it, I don't even know if it'll spin up.
I got it to mount one.
Oh, you did? Okay. So, but but then...
stick and keyboard and mouse and runs well.
Good. Yeah, for me, I try to keep it as small a footprint as possible. Once you add that USB hub on there, it's almost like you need to put some duct tape around it to keep it together. And, you know, I'm not a big duct tape guy, so I try to stay away from that. So. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and shut this one down, and I'm going to boot up Raspbian next here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the one last thing is the – oh, I guess I didn't let it shut down quick enough there. Anyways, that's okay. So H.264 is by far probably the most compatible format with the Raspberry Pi, which there's a program called Handbrake, which is very good at converting just about anything to it. And yeah, absolutely. He just asked if you can stream that over the network. You absolutely can. I mean, and depending if you're going to be wired or wireless, but I know for a fact you can easily do 720p H.264 over Wi-Fi without an issue. At least I've been able to, is my experiences. Okay, so now we're booting Raspbian. Okay, so this is the vanilla desktop. This is a very clean install of Raspbian. I've done very little with it. So, you know, as I mentioned before in an earlier slide, it's LXDE is the desktop environment. It's got this Midori as the web browser that comes on it by default. Here again, I don't have Wi-Fi connectivity, so I'm not gonna, if I pull anything up, it wouldn't be very impressive. Of course, it's got a lot of the standard base packages installed. But the one thing I did load on here is there is a version of Minecraft that is specifically for the Raspberry Pi, and it's free. You don't have to buy Minecraft at all to have this. So I'm gonna go in here. So this is another good example of, you know, what the Pi is capable of. So that's basically just kind of wanted to show you. I'm not going to, you know, have you guys watch me build a city or anything, but just wanted to show you that it definitely is capable of running Minecraft. So let's think about this. So this is Minecraft on Linux on a Raspberry Pi at a Linux conference, right? So, all right. All right, so that's pretty much everything that I had planned to show you guys. So is there anything that anybody wanted to see with Raspbian or questions about Raspbian itself? I may or may not be able to answer them, but I can attempt to. Anybody have any? Absolutely, absolutely. Diamonds are hard to find, yes. Yes, yes. The one thing, I'm pretty sure it has network support. I'd have to double check that, but I'm pretty sure it does. The Pi edition, though, it's similar to the Minecraft, what do they call it, the mobile one on iPad. It's not the full version, so I don't think it has survival mode. But if they're wanting to just do creative mode, then absolutely you could do that. Oh, yeah, it'd be way cheaper than having to worry about all the machines. And then if it crashes, you just reimage the SD card, no big deal. I looked hard at the Beagle boards before I got this, and definitely it seems like, I mean, if you compare them spec-wise, I'm not remembering exactly the specs of the Beagle board, but I think that in some ways the specs are maybe a little higher depending which model you're talking about. But pretty much my findings were that the community and the support behind the Raspberry Pi compared to something like the Beagle board, there's really nothing to talk about. There's such a huge following behind this that all these different distributions, all these applications where they're really tailoring them to run well on the Raspberry Pi. I feel like the BeagleBoard doesn't really have that, so I kind of went this direction for myself personally because I felt like it would be better supported. So I don't know if anybody in the audience has is familiar with the BeagleBoard, but that was kind of my gathering.
Focus was education.
As far as functionality, I go with kids on the side, so you know, if kids are taught, better to have a board that costs $35. You know, have kids be able to start programming in Python, for example, than to spend the money on a Beagle board. And then you have to custom compile your operating system. There are a few operating systems out there that have been, you can download an image now for Beagle board. Most of the people started out with BeagleBoard having to custom compile their own image, especially when they start hooking up other hardware to it. The kernel may not have support for that hardware, so they got to go and find the source code and do it. So a lot of the stuff for the Raspberry Pi comes out of the box. So like, there's a lot of community support for it. So.
Yeah, the one guy in the audience just pointed out, definitely a good difference as well is that the Raspberry Pi was much more geared for educational. I mean, that was kind of been its focus. It's turned into way more than that. But right out of the gate, the Raspberry Pi Foundation, that was really one of the big areas that they were looking to have it be used.
And the reason why the hardware is good is that's what their price point wanted, that's what they wanted their price point to be, and that's what they said they're going to keep it at. So they want to keep the board at that $35 price. So.
Yep.
Does this version here have Python on it?
Yes. Yeah, it's got, with the IDLE and IDLE3, it's got both. So it's got Python 3, and then I'm guessing it's, I'm not sure, 2.6. I don't know if there's any.
So the Pi in the Raspberry Pi stands for Python?
No.
Yes. They made that statement at Python.
Really?
Earlier this year. Yes, the Pi in Raspberry Pi comes from Python.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Towards power users, so we're ZSH out of the box. We got all kinds of more usable power user features out of the box. We're not on noobs, we're not on Berry Boot. You actually have to image with DD, but that's kind of the barrier for entry. If you can't do that, you probably shouldn't be running our software anyway. But if you're looking to do any sort of heavy server project or anything that's not geared towards education, something that's a desktop oriented, faster using, definitely check out PyBang Linux at PyBangLinux.org. And we've got the Minecraft PyOn package that you have to get from us. Additional repositories that are completely compatible with Raspbian.
Nice.
You can sideload it from Berry Boot.
I have no idea, never tried it, you should.
Yeah, this one thing, Berry Boot, that these two mentioned is basically a bootloader for Raspberry Pi where you can have multiple distributions on one SD card. I did look into that, and I haven't used it yet personally. Maybe you guys know this, but from what I gathered, it shares the kernel between the different distributions. And I know RaspBMC uses a custom kernel to fine-tune it for multimedia capabilities. And so that's why I kind of haven't gone down that path yet, because just since, depending what you're doing, it might be great if you wanted to have, you know, just one SD card and multiple distributions if you don't care about the kernel. But that's what I've gathered from Berry Boot.
When I installed it while I was reading, I don't think it shares the kernel. It uses compression to keep each image separate, and then you just use that, and then it decompresses it into its own kernel, so each one's separate.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. It wasn't really crystal clear what they were saying, so.
The hardware's cheap enough, but is there an emulator?
So you're saying like on a Linux desktop computer, emulate a Raspberry Pi?
And also,
It can be done. I mean, I've seen stuff about it. I personally haven't tried it. I feel like, I don't know, the one thing I just saw yesterday was an article about doing ad blocking for all your devices in your house if you use a Raspberry Pi as a Wi-Fi. So you basically have it on there. So if you're using an iPad or desktop computer, so I know that it definitely can be done and some people are doing it and there are some applications, but as far as what the reliability and performance would be, I'm not real sure about that. Any other question?
Can you give resources for people getting started with the GPIO and building circuits?
I personally haven't delved into that myself yet. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if anybody else does. He just handed something over. Maybe he's got the goods for you.
It's Raspberry Pi projects for the evil genius.
There you go. You got the horns already ready to go, too. So. And, you know, basically the GPIO, it's a matter of if you wanted to have, I think it's general purpose input output, I think is what it stands for. So it really makes it very programmable if you want to be able to. I mean, people have made like home brewery systems that are run by the Raspberry Pi. Some people have like, I don't know if this uses digital, the GPIO, but there's like a DeviantArt frame on the wall that changes the pictures based on, you know, time or what have you. So there's endless applications, and I think the GPIO is where a lot of that could come in at because it gives you lots of capabilities. But I personally have not tinkered with that part of it. Are you running that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good point.
Is there RS-232 interface?
I'm not sure I know what that is. What? Oh. No. I mean, not on it. You could probably, I know there's adapters that you can go from serial to USB. So I don't know if there'd be drivers for that, though, because it's definitely not on board, though. I know that for a fact. Any other questions? Anything else you guys wanted to see? Yeah. I do not. I know what you're talking about, but I personally have not used that. I don't know if anybody else in the audience has, but I have no experience with that. Short of phones, this is really the only thing I have experience with that's ARM-based. Well, yeah, I guess I'll leave it at that.
So you mentioned your employer does heating and plumbing or something like that?
Yes.
Are they looking at, like, you try to convince them to, like, start using Raspberry Pis as controllers?
We've come real close for a few applications we've had to using Raspberry Pis. Like, we have some, just as an example, all of our employees at our headquarters and at our branches have to clock in at the beginning of the day. And we have some, like, time clock terminals where basically all it is a machine that goes to our web app so the employee can type in their login and password to clock in. We almost put one of these in there, but we went with a Chromebook instead. There's been, I'm sure at some point we'll probably have some use where this will be a perfect fit. But definitely with that example, it was going to turn into a Frankenstein. I was going to need the duct tape again to accomplish what we were trying to do. And I was like, for business, that doesn't quite make perfect sense. So we personally have not. I'm sure there's some businesses out there that use them. I don't have any use cases prepared to show or explain, but I'm certain that there's some businesses using them for whatever purposes that might be. Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you were raising your hand. I've seen a few things on that. You know, when you put it in a case, definitely it can get a little warmer because it doesn't have quite as open air airflow. But at the same time, if you have kids like I do, you're going to want to put it in a case, even just to protect it from other stuff beyond kids, just the elements. Well, it's not going to be out in sand. But anyways, from what I understand, you can even overclock it, and you don't necessarily need to put a heat sink on there. But there are heat sinks that some people are putting on them. I personally, I'm not positive if RaspBMC, like some of the distributions overclock it by like without even telling you necessarily. So I haven't run into any heat issues with it, but I know that that is a consideration that some people have run into, and it seems like heat sinks are the, at least one of the answers. So it still would be silent, et cetera, but could help out with the temperature. Yes. And I'm not sure, I haven't looked to buy them, so I don't know if it's if some of the Pi stores sell them or if it's people just getting some other heat sinks and slapping them on there. All right. We're getting close to out of time. If there's any other questions, we got time for a few more. Yes. No, is that like the RS-230 or the R-232? No?
Pi is red and green. The raspberry is red and green. And this is twice now you just duct tape.
Oh. Yeah, all right. Yeah. If there's a lot of duct tape lovers in the room, I apologize for that. When it comes to electronics and duct tape, I'm not a fan. Those two just, no. All right. No other question? Yeah. Yes.
I've been measuring and trying to figure out kind of like a cluster with them, really, like off an ATX power supply. Does anybody know much around the specifics of like power requirements, really? Like, I've read that some people suggest 700 milliamps if you're going to like have peripherals for it. My use case, I'm just looking like no peripherals. I measured the like 30 to 40 milliamps, just like even under a stress, like CPU stress test.
I personally have not. So if I understand, so you're saying that you're trying to use a normal like ATX power supply to power multiple Pis or just one?
Because you can go off and plug in directly to the GPIO. That way you don't have to buy a bunch of ATX power supply that's flying around. So far I've powered about three of them, and then I started running into issues.
I personally have no experience with that at all. My only experience is using a cell phone charger I had laying around that was epic fail. And then I bought one of the on the recommended list I showed in a slide earlier. So I personally don't. I don't know if anybody else in the audience has experience with that, but that's the first I've heard of that. It's a good idea, but I don't know how to resolve the issues you're running into. All right, if no other questions, that's it. Thank you.